Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Friedman. Welcome to our podcast for Weill Cornell Medical College. Today we're going to talk about something which is puzzling to a lot of people, and that's how you can tell whether your psychotherapy is any good.
Just as feeling good is not necessarily a good indication of whether you're getting good treatment or not, the cost of treatment also isn't an indicator of how good the treatment is. For example, you could be getting excellent first-rate treatment in a clinic at a university medical center or at another clinic where there's low-fee treatment. And conversely, you may be getting substandard care in private treatment where the cost may be astronomical. And in this age of managed care where there is demand to prove the efficacy of treatments, it's even more important to ask the question whether or not your treatment, your psychotherapy is any good.
Several months after landing a book contract, a writer named Bonnie knew that she was in trouble. She told me, quote, "I was completely paralyzed and I couldn't write. I had to do something right away, so I decided to get myself into psychotherapy." But what started with a simple case of writer's block then turned into 7 years of intensive psychotherapy. Like Bonnie, millions of Americans turned to psychotherapy to deal with a host of problems, from mundane, everyday kinds of problems to life-threatening behaviors like those of severe personality disorders and depression. In fact, between 1987 and 1997, about 3.5% of Americans were in psychotherapy each year. This according to a 2002 study that was published in the American Journal of Psychiatry by Dr. Mark Olson at the College of Physicians and Surgeons at Columbia University. And in 1997 alone, 9.7 million Americans shelled out about $7 billion for outpatient psychotherapy. Unlike most medical treatments, where a patient can expect relatively fast results, the benefits of psychotherapy can take some time. For example, an infection could be treated successfully in a couple of days, but it might take weeks or months of treatment to clear up a depression. And the psychotherapy of a personality disorder often requires years of intensive treatment. So the question is, how can you tell whether your psychotherapy is any good if the outcome is going to be months or years away? Well, one of the problems is that feeling better and getting good treatment are not the same thing. You know that since most illnesses, including psychiatric disorders, fluctuate spontaneously with time, many patients would get better if they did nothing at all or had no treatment at all. So, for example, you could be getting very bad psychotherapy and you might feel very good, while on the other hand, you may be getting excellent treatment but feel terrible. In other words, how you feel isn't necessarily a reliable indicator of how good the treatment is that you're getting. Well, after about 7 years of therapy, Bonnie began to think of ending her treatment, which her therapist strongly resisted. She told me that when she suggested getting a second opinion, her therapist said something to the effect of, "Don't you think we can handle this on our own?" And her therapist's response bothered Bonnie, because she felt now that her therapist was looking like a needy human being who didn't want to lose her as a patient. Shortly after she ended her therapy, she not only finished her first book, but she went on to write another book in which she actually chronicled some of her experiences in psychotherapy. I recently spoke to Dr. Peter Fonagy, who is the Freud Memorial Professor of Psychoanalysis at University College London and is a well-known expert in psychotherapy research. And he said to me that clinicians have always been disinclined to take patients' subjective reports about their own experiences in psychotherapy, even though research has shown how important subjective reports are to the outcome in psychotherapy. And what Dr. Fonagy said was that the therapeutic alliance is extremely important, and if patients feel understood by their therapist, generally they do better than those who don't. Interesting was something that he said, and that is that one of the best predictors of responding to psychotherapy is a simple question. If you ask a patient if he would recommend therapy to a friend, and the answer is yes, then the patient will likely benefit. Bonnie told me that she assumed her therapy was good because she felt understood in a way that she hadn't before, And it wasn't just a matter of feeling better, she started living differently, which is mirrors what Dr. Fonagy said. Another patient I saw, Joe, who's a 44-year-old successful lawyer, had been in therapy for many years and felt, though he had gained a lot of understanding about himself, he still was feeling chronically low, chronically down. And after seeing his depressed partner respond dramatically to antidepressant, he wondered if he too were depressed. He told me that he saw his partner suddenly stop sitting with his head in his hands, and this was very encouraging to him. Unfortunately, his therapist was opposed to the idea of Joe trying any medication. What Joe said to me was, he told me that we'd be treating a different brain and that I would be forestalling symptoms with medication that would return years later when I stopped medication. Joe persisted and got a second opinion. There really isn't any good reason for a therapist to discourage a consultation, and it should raise a red flag when it happens. A competent and secure therapist should welcome the input of a second opinion. A key question that patients should ask themselves is whether their therapist is doing things that seem mainly to benefit the therapist or the patient. If the patient has any doubt, it's reasonable to get a second consultation. Unfortunately, you know, it's a lot easier to say what bad psychotherapy is than what good therapy is. But there may not be one criterion that defines a competent therapist, but there are a couple of qualities that you might consider. For example, is the therapist compassionate, understanding, non-judgmental? Does the therapist listen carefully and provide feedback that explains your situation clearly? Does the therapist give you a diagnosis and present more than one treatment option? At the start of psychotherapy, a therapist really should be able to provide you with a diagnosis, if there is one, something like depression or an anxiety problem, or at least a concise formulation of what your problem is. The therapist should then be able to explain to you what the treatment alternatives are for your particular problem, as well as the risks and benefits of the treatment. My colleague Dr. Robert Michaels, who's a professor of psychiatry and former chairman and former dean of Weill Cornell Medical College, told me that he thinks the critical question that patients in psychotherapy should ask themselves is not just whether they're getting better, but whether they're getting what the profession believes is optimal treatment. That's not always so easy to know. Credentialing is an important issue here, and while it doesn't guarantee that a therapist is good, it at least provides some basic assurance that the therapist has a minimum level of competence. So whether your therapist is a social worker, a pastoral therapist, a psychologist, or a psychiatrist, it's important that they be licensed and credentialed by an appropriate professional board and that they're regulated by the state medical board, the Department of Education. Feeling better is important, of course, but it's possible to feel good and be in a stalled psychotherapy where little significant change is actually taking place. If you're in therapy, don't just rely on your own feelings to judge the treatment. Speak to your friends and your family and see what they think about how you're doing and whether you're changing. In the end, psychotherapy is a really personal business. It's not always easy for patients to know whether they're getting good treatment. And I think that Dr. Michaels put it very nicely when he said, you know, if you need an appendectomy, it doesn't really matter if you like the surgeon as long as he's skilled and competent. But in therapy, skill and competence are necessary, but not enough. Personal fit, more than almost anything, determines the outcome.